happening now is in full effect. Joey fucking Diaz, the flying Julie Syatt. What are you fucking shaking your head for, Lee? I was waking Ari the fuck up.
You were on the phone.
Who gives a fuck? I was waking him up.
And then you went before I could start up your microphone.
Come on, guy. This is why you always got to be fucking ready, Lee. Always, always, before you start up the microphone. Good morning. The Church of What's Happening Now is in full motherfucking effect. Just said Ari Shaffir, the other fucking, because he's the flying Jew, fucking Lee Syatt, but Ari's on a plane, so obviously he's the flying fucking Jew this morning. So I thought I was waking him up, but he's already on the fucking plane. Great to have you here. Happy fucking Wednesday. You know, the day after fucking 9/11. So thank God it's over. There was no whatever. My heart goes out to the families and everything. But it's like Lee was saying, you know what I'm saying? Every fucking 9/11, you get all these fake patriots up there putting fire hats and kazoos and pictures of cops. And Lee was all fucking upset about it. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? I don't even like talking about it. Like, I was watching all that Discovery Nat Geo stuff about it and the voices. It's a fucking heartbreaker, and it happened in my city, you know, where I grew up. I know that fucking place, but why start it on a fucking day? We got shit going on today, Lee. What's happening over there? Look, he's giggling. He didn't want to fucking smoke the pipe. Whoa, the vapor pen is here already. I already had a slice of my fucking Bang chocolate from Divine Wellness. Now I'm over here. I'm saving the lungs today. I'm just vaporizing all day like a doctor. Through osmosis for you motherfuckers. Welcome to fucking Wednesday. Who seen the Sons of Anarchy last night? I seen the fucking premiere. Let me tell you something. I was driving around all goddamn day yesterday thinking about Sons. I came home. They were fucking some shit up. Gemma is tremendous. Did you watch Elite? No.
No, I was.
You were probably fucking watching some Momo show about some guy throwing rocks at pigeons or some shit. Fuck no.
It's my favorite show.
There was some fucking heavy duty shit. Jax took over. The fucking Clay's got the... Clay looks rough too. He looks like he did 55 fucking G-Bos over the fucking summer. And then you got Tig. They burned his fucking daughter. They threw in a fucking hole. They were shooting some people. The feds are looking for him. So, and that was the season fucking opener. That's usually the way a fucking show closes. So, and I guess that's the most violent thing that ever happened on fucking FX. Like the most violent scene ever.
Really?
What happened last night?
I never got into it. Is it a good show?
You know what, man? It's as good as it's gonna be. I don't want to watch fucking Modern Family or people hugging. I want to see fucking people shooting each other. You know what I'm saying? I want my heart to beat for fucking an hour a week. I don't want to watch some fucking dumb sitcom anymore. And I'll tell you what, like, Sons of Anarchy, like, it opened up with him banging fucking... I mean, the opening scene was Jimmy Smith banging the chick from Married with Children and two chicks are having a twosome. Where the fuck are you gonna get that on 7 o'clock at night? Where the fuck are you going to get that? Entertainment Tonight with the chick with the big fucking horse teeth? Where are you fucking going to get that? I need that in my life once a week. I don't want to live it no more. I just need a couple people getting bit slapped. You got the Mexicans. You got the fucking Yams. You got the fucking dirty white dudes on bicycles selling fucking guns. You got the Irish. You know what I'm saying? It's a fun fucking hour.
Yeah.
Everything else, I sit there. Get the fuck out of here. I want to giggle like a four-year-old.
And you have a friend on there from the... He was on the Beauty and the Beast with you, right?
Yeah, Emilio. I've known Emilio since I fucking first moved here, man. And that guy has been... I just seen something with Tom Cruise the other day. The one where he's a hitman with Ray. You know, the fucking guy who played Ray.
Oh, Jesus.
And what's the name of that movie?
Is that new?
You don't even know what the fuck I'm talking. Who played Ray? So it's him and him when they're in the cab. And he's in the fucking movie with Javier Bardem. And... You know, he's been around for a long time, so when he told me he was on Sons, I didn't watch it for the first three or four, so I don't even know how many seasons it's on. When he told me, I started, my wife would watch it from time to time, and I started watching, I liked it. Lobo was in it, another friend of mine, Lobo's cousin was in it. So you gotta watch the fucking things to support, so I really enjoyed it last night. I'm gonna watch it again, that's why I ate that fucking candy bar. Bang chocolate so I get ready for the fucking morning. I don't have dick today. Dick, I'm leaving tomorrow to Minnesota nice and early. Like a doctor?
Yeah, really early, like 5 in the morning.
Yeah, why don't you fucking tell them, cocksucker? Next thing you know, I got fucking three dudes with fucking things on their head ready to blow up the plane next to me, cocksucker. You know what I'm saying? let's piss everybody off today.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get the video taken off and stick them again.
Yeah, fucking stick them. Took our shit off, but because we're throwing heat. Who knows? Who fucking knows what happened? But no, I like all that stuff. Yesterday, I had a fucked up daily.
What did you do yesterday?
I went for acupuncture.
Oh, Jesus.
And Dr.
Christ.
Amy must have put 92 fucking needles in me. She put two needles under my armpits. Ugh. Two of them. I could feel. And the day before, I had gone to yoga and I did 1,000 downward dogs. So she was sticking the needle right into the fucking muscle, which supports the chubby side of the downward fucking dog. And I'll tell you what, she put two of them in there. I had two of them in my hand. I had them in my neck, my ears. I had them all down my back. She cut me deep last night because there's a problem with my back, but she cut me deep. When you go to acupuncture, when I leave, I don't like to plan a lot of big shit. I like my day to be slow and relaxed, and I get good sleep. You sleep great.
Do you really?
Oh, the night after fucking needles, like the night after you get the needles, what the fuck is this? The kennel next door? Like 5:30 in the morning, there's dogs outside yelling.
Don't tell them where you live, man. The guys will be outside. So anyways, you sleep pretty good.
Yeah, you sleep like a fuck. I mean, all I remember last night was looking at the clock and closing my eyes.
Oh, those are the best.
Demi was next to me, the cat. I closed my fucking eyes. Bam! Done, like a doctor. I woke up to some fucking macho man. You know, it was on the fucking alarm when I...
Yeah.
Whatever fucking song. Who the hell knows? So, no, I feel great. I look great. I don't even feel the needles. You take a fucking gigantic shit when you come back from acupuncture.
Ugh.
She puts a needle like in your liver and spins that motherfucker around and lights it on fire. Your fucking stomach fills up. I drove right home and it's like you just tap it and this thing comes out of your mouth. Oh, I love it. If you're not into acupuncture, you know what? I've been doing it for 6 fucking years. Look at the pictures of me in the longest yard. Look at me now. I don't look bad. I'm an old fuck. I mean, I'm 49, but I'm 122 in cocaine years. It's like a fucking dog. You know what I'm saying? Toast to that, bitches. What do we got today? Oh, we got my man, Timmy Marblehead, calling in. Timmy called in on the pilot. Let me explain to you what happened. Timmy called in on the pilot when we did the first episode just fucking around. But he's going to call back again today because, like, they celebrated 9/11 yesterday, the 11th anniversary. This Saturday is the 30th anniversary of when we robbed the jewelry store together and we had gotten out of high school the summer of 82. And every year I like to celebrate it because it was what gave me balls but took them away, kind of, sort of. What's going on? You all right?
Yeah.
You over there reading shit, thinking you're fucking Copernicus and whatnot?
Yeah, that God, fucking acupuncture scares me. My needles aren't as bad as yours. Like, I don't pass out, but I've been scared of needles for my entire life. And the thought of having needles in my hands and... Yeah, I can't do it.
You'll be fine, Doug. It's going to be... You don't even feel it. I fainted a couple fucking times.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. I've gone in there and I felt the needle too because I was a fucking Momo. I'd eat like an edible before I go in there.
Uh-huh.
I used to go on... When I first started going on Tuesdays, I used to eat a fucking edible. My friend worked in a weed store and he'd say, come over at 9 and I'll give you the edibles we made the night before. So by the time I got up there at 1 o'clock, my head would be fucking spinning like juicing and ginning. Get down! When's the last time you heard it like this? No, and by the time I get up there, I'd be fucking high. You know, I feel the edible kick, and then she'd stick needles in me, and you feel the needle going in you a lot more, and I would faint. Like, one time I hurt my knee from fucking fainting at the needle. Like, that's how I twisted it.
Oh.
So I fainted at acupuncture, and I hurt my fucking knee in the meanwhile. You know what I'm saying? I was going to go smoke-free, but this shit from fucking NoHo, where did I get this? NoHo Organic is fucking tremendous. This is where I got the vapor pen, too. The vapor pen, if you're in the neighborhood, stop in there, get a little vapor pen by Eureka. Stone to the fucking gills by 6:30 in the fucking morning. Who's better than Uncle Joey? What the fuck? We got the whole day today. You know, we're going to ride today, everything. But, like I was telling you, while I was rudely interrupted about Lee with fucking needles, whatever the fuck he was talking about, my brother here. You know, we always celebrate September 15th. I always talk about it because it was the first time I really went on a fucking big time limb. You know, when I was in high school, I used to walk past this jewelry store to go to this Bergen line. Every day I'd walk past this jewelry store. And one day I look in there and I see, what the fuck? I go in there, there's two old ladies and a guy. The guy's got like a bad wig. And I go in there and look at jewelry. I always liked jewelry because my mother wore a lot of jewelry. I go in there and I'm looking at the fucking jewelry. And I said, let me see that ring. I was dating this little fucking half Italian chick. I go, let me see that ring. And they put out a fucking tray, you know, and each tray had like two rings in each fucking slot.
Jesus.
So I took a ring to look at it, and I looked over, and nobody was watching me, and I did like a magic trick, and I put it in my sock. Boom, I walk out of the jewelry store. This was the first jewelry store. I mean, in the 80s, they still didn't have the buzzer.
Yeah.
You could just walk in and walk out. So I tell one of my friends, he's like, that's impossible. So about a month later, I go, because I would go to, there was a Burger King on the corner, my friend Darcy worked in there, and we were like 1980s, so we go in there and get the free chicken sandwiches. I used to eat those motherfuckers 2 a day, and then down the corner was a Sporting Goods where I used to buy sneakers. I'd fucking go in there. So I always walk past this jewelry store.
Okay.
So one day I walk past the jewelry store again, I go in there again, I ask the lady for a tray again. She gives me a fucking tray, 2 rings in each thing. I pop a fucking ring this time with a diamond, a little baby diamond. I put it in my fucking jean, fucking walk out. I couldn't believe this was going on. I would tell my friends, I'm going in there every 2 months and stealing the ring. The people don't even know I'm fucking doing it, guys.
And they didn't recognize you each time you went
in? There were two ladies. Two, like, 60-year-old fucking ladies. Oh, they didn't give a fuck.
They forgot about you before you were out the
door. Yeah, so it was, like, kind of weird. So one day I go in there, we go to eat Cuban food at this place, Gilberto's, on Bergerline Avenue. Me, Freddy Bassasudo, a bunch of us. And on the way back, I go, guys, I got this football shirt on. Like, a high school football shirt from my team. And it was mesh with the shoulder pads. It would be tough over here. I go in, right, I'm talking to the lady. This time, there's one old lady and the guy. I ask her to see the tray. Again, she turns her back on me, walks away. This is summer of 82. I take the fucking tray, put it under my shirt, and walk out of there. We get to the car. We got 30 engagement diamond rings.
Whew.
I take them to my buddy Chris, the fucking fish. He's all coked up and Chris. Shit. I go, I need to sell. He was only fucking 17, 18. He goes, I'll get you money for these. He beat us. He gave us 600 per ring or something like that. But it was fucking 30 rings. We made some fucking cash. That was some summer money, bitches. Plus, I threw his mother a ring, a friend of mine a ring. But we had robbed a tray of fucking rings. Just under your shirt. I couldn't believe it. But the payoff was they had this thing that spun around on the counter.
Oh, I love those.
That you spin around and the jewelry would spin by. So the top things had bracelets and the bottom had long fucking chains. And it was stacked. And I would go in there from time to time and move it a little bit. Like to see how heavy it was. And it had just a plug for the wall to make it spin around. It wasn't alarmed, it wasn't wired, it wasn't whatever. And I made a mental note to fucking, well, if ever I get in trouble, that little tower is going down. It was like a little fucking tower, you know?
Yeah.
So I had enrolled at Glassboro State University, which is now Rowan.
Okay.
Down in Philly, by South Jersey, Philly area, right? And it's Rowan now, but this time it was Glassboro State. It was like the fucking number two party school. They take me down there. My buddy signed me up. He's like, I get you in. I get you student loans. I figured to myself, you know what? I'll scam the student fucking loan people. I go in there. They sign me up for like 13, 14, I don't even know, 15 credits. God damn it. I get a loan, and I sign up for these classes. I made it 3 fucking weeks, bro. I couldn't take it. I was homesick, you know, and I only was like 3 hours away. So I go fucking home, and we get this fucking party going, and we get all coked up, and we start gambling. Sad. I hadn't seen my friends in 3 weeks. I was heartbroken. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like a little, you know, those people. Oh, my God, I haven't seen my friend. Who gives a fuck? I'm down in Philly living with this guy that walks around with an eye patch, bringing 2 girls home. One night I woke up, and he was fucking dressed in a mask, and he was banging this shit. I mean, it was fucking crazy.
I never heard about this guy before.
Oh, no, his name is Kurt. It's a fucking long. He's still alive in Miami. He's my brother. He's just fucking surviving. I love him with all my heart. So I go back up to fucking North Bergen for this weekend, and my buddies are going nuts. They're snorting. They're fucking eating Quaaludes. They're eating Gorilla Biscuits, and they're gambling Saturday, and they're winning, and they gamble fucking Sunday, and they win. So Monday, I go, fuck it, I'm not going out. In those days, Monday Night Football was huge, kids. This, what's going on, like this Monday, I forgot there was football.
Oh, yeah.
Like 8:30 at night, I go, honey, there's a fucking football game. Here I was watching Eyewitness News. I always watch Diane Sawyer, except when George Stavropoulos is on it. He bothers the fuck out of me. I like him, but I like Diane Sawyer. I watch fucking World News tonight to watch Diane Sawyer. That's my girl. So I'm sitting there trying to, you know, the other night, I'm like, when is football going to fucking start? And sure enough, it's on ESPN, or whatever the fuck it said.
NFL, it's on ESPN now.
Whatever the fuck it is. It's a doubleheader on ESPN. So, Finny, come here, cocksucker. Come say hello to the American people. American people, Australians, England, you know I love you, so I don't give a fuck who's watching. I hope you're watching in fucking Africa. Everywhere, you fuck. I hope there's... Anyway. So, this Monday night. Monday night used to be huge, guys. Okay? In the 80s, and I don't know what the fuck happened. I don't know what you little motherfuckers are thinking. Mondays is the first day. Listen, you know why I don't work Sundays? Because I like being home Monday. If you're not home Monday, that's the beginning of the fucking week. How in this country did Monday Night Football go out of fucking business? It all started with that fucking, what's that kid's name? I thought he was fucking smart. And they put him onto a host on Monday nights. Dennis Miller. I love Dennis Miller as a comedian, but when he took Monday Night Football, he added fucking intelligence. Like he was fucking smarter with his big fucking words. Go fuck yourself, cocksucker. You brought down fucking Monday Night Football by yourself. Cosell died. They took fucking OJ or all these motherfuckers that were the real deal, and they put Dennis Miller on. That was the beginning of the fucking end. I don't give a fuck who gets mad at me, but that's the fucking truth. Monday Night Football used to be goddamn huge in this fucking country. Anywhere you went, there was happy hours. We used to go to the ground round in Englewood, New Jersey with the fucking brothers. You understand me? You think I'm fucking kidding you? We go to the ground round because they gave out free meatballs. And little appetizers. We go there and fucking tear up the fucking appetizers on a Monday night. It was in Englewood, New Jersey. I fucking called George Collins. I was the king of dining and dashing at the fucking Underground.
Oh, that's great.
Didn't George tell a story, remember?
Oh, my God.
When we used to go to the Ground Round, I used to take the check and walk up to the fucking manager and talk to him like, this place is beautiful. Let's get out of here. And he'd go, what were you talking to the guy about? He comped us the fucking meal. Never got comped nothing. We go in there and destroy the chicken wings. But anyway, let me take you back to September fucking something 82. So we go down on Monday night and we bet this, all of us, four fucking little young losers, you know, with BTL tattoos on our fucking forehead instead of fucking Manson family, go to the Ground Round. We bet it was either Dallas against Pittsburgh or Pittsburgh. That was the game. I just forget who the fuck we bet.
Yeah.
But we didn't put in like a 10 time. We were 18. 10 timers in those days were 55 if you lost, 50 if you win. Not us. We were guerrillas. We put fucking 300 times on this, which is 1,800 or something. 500 times. That's what we bet. We got a fucking... We got my high school teacher, George the Camel Breath, to take a 500-time bet, which is like $3,000 if you lose or something.
Whoa.
This is... We're just out of high school. But here's the clinker. We go to this fucking Ground Round, okay? Now, it was us that was white. Everybody else was brothers. These two fucking, I'll never forget this as long as I live. That night, it will stick in my mind, and these two yahoos walk in. I don't even know where the fuck they were from. I've never seen these guys. This is a big city, Englewood. This is on 9, up to that street that connects right by the George Washington Bridge. I've been out of there for 30 years, so don't fucking be mad at me. And I go in there, and next thing you know, they throw a pass to Lynn Swan, one of those receivers on Pittsburgh. And he drops, and now we're in a black bar. I don't know what these fucking white guys were thinking, but the one white guy yelled, and I'll never forget this, he goes, if it was a fucking pocketbook, you wouldn't drop it. Right? I'll never ever forget this. And 30 fucking heavy-duty black militants from Englewood, New Jersey just looked at the motherfucker. One guy went up to talk to him. They escorted him out. I never seen the motherfuckers again. There was clothing ripped outside. That's all I say. You don't give a fuck in those days.
No.
When you're from the church of what's happening now, listen. Rule number 8, you don't give a fuck. If they ain't got nothing to do with you and they're getting beat up, mind your fucking business. Look straight. Make believe you're looking at the TV. It's got nothing to do with you. All right? All you're going to hear, it was like when we used to mug fucking guys at the Hudson County Park. That's all you're going to fucking hear. Mind your fucking business. There's a lot of heroes out there. And every time I seen a hero get shot or stabbed, mind your fucking, it had nothing to do with you. He opened up his mouth and he took the beating. So now we lose. Dallas fucking loses. Or whoever the fuck we bet.
Yeah.
They lose huge. We got to come up with this money by Thursday. Hi, Gray. We got to come up with this money. You guys want to see Gray? Come here, mama. Say hello to these people. This is my little princess, Gray. Say hello. This is my little girl. This is the last one we fucking adopted. Look at her. She's looking right at the camera like, what? Suck my dick. Hi, mama. These little fucking animals love to me love. Without these animals, Lee, I couldn't make it happen ever. Seriously. Because they put me in a good mood every morning, man.
When I got here and your wife opened the door, there was about all of them just sitting around. Your wife was watching TV. I before I met you, I didn't like cats. And they just looked up at me and they all smiled and they got used to me so they don't run anymore. And they just went, like, Fidel meowed at me. And it was just, it's very happy. And I mean...
Bro, I never liked cats either. We all fucking chased cats and threw rocks at cats as a fucking kid. My friends used to take cats and throw them off a roof to see how many clotheslines they could knock down and hope off them and
Christ.
Shit. They wouldn't kill them. They just throw them off a roof.
they just throw them off a roof.
You think I feel bad about that shit when they told me that story? I want to stab them myself. But whatever. As long as you have an animal with a dog, cat, go to your fucking shelter. Listen, people, they're fucking overflowing. I go there sometimes and I'm fucking heartbroken. I can't put no more. I can't help no more. I feed the 3 down the block. I got 2 around the corner. I got a pigeon. I got my own shit. I'm about to get a parrot. Do me a favor. Go down there. They bring a lot of joy to your life. Cat, dog, fucking chihuahua. I don't give a fuck what it is. It's really nice. It's responsibility. And they're going to fucking zoot these motherfuckers anyway. They're going to shoot them or whatever the fuck they do. They call them like a name to make them look nice and Republican. They're going to emancipate them. Whatever the fuck they're going to. What's the name? There's a name for
euthanize
them. Euthanize them. What the fuck does that mean? I sat there for 10 years. Euthanize them. What, they going to give them a shot for something for fucking hunger?
Yeah.
Well, my wife told me, no, they fucking kill them. So, you know how that goes. But back to the fucking, back to 82.
Back to the story.
Back to the hotel, cocksuckers. Great week this week, Wednesday, motherfuckers. I'm happy you're here with Mad Flavor, the Church of What's Happening Now, the Flying Jew, Lee Syatt, one of the baddest motherfuckers I know, putting shit together like a real fucking Jew, not like these fucking momos walking around with no yarmulkes. And starting next week, Lee's getting his birth yarmulke. And he's going to start working on the show. We're going to get two cameras. We're going to work on this motherfucker to get some eyeball. I just don't want you to see this fucking ugly face. We're going to get Lee on there. We're going to get Charles Bronson up there from my man Mike Maxwell. Anyway, back to fucking what time you got here, because my man Timmy Marblehead's going to call.
He's going to call in like 7 minutes.
Beautiful. We'll set him right the fuck up. So, we fucking...
So we lose this money.
Four of us lose this fucking money. And not one of us has a dime to fucking pay.
So, just because I've never placed a bet with a bookie.
Okay.
When you place this bet, you don't have to give him anything.
No.
You
just, I just call him up and say, this is the Silver Cavalier.
Oh, Jesus.
Every name had a different one. I look at my four buddies while I got them on hold. I go, what's the line? He tells me 6.5, 44 and a half, the over and under. And I go, all right, hold on. And you cover the fucking phone. And you go, what do you want to do, guys? 100 times. Well, if you're walking on ice, you might as well dance. Let's go for 500 times. All right. Listen. We're going to put in 500 fucking times, which is 500 to win, or no, 100 times is 500 to win, or 600 to lose in those days, or whatever, for 550.
Ooh, that makes me nervous just thinking about it.
I was 18, no job, no prospects, just gambling to make it happen, because they pay you on Thursday, so I want to make it happen the next weekend.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the other day, I was telling you, I would figure out what do I needed for the week. I need 50 for Coke, 82 for Quaaludes. A knife, a yo-yo, and then I figure, and that's what I bet, like a fucking idiot. And then I bet in a group with four guys. When was the last time you seen four guys go out and get a piece of ass? They don't, because Never. They're in a group. Why would you gamble by your fucking self? That's the same way I was looking at it. So I'm sitting there. We lost his money. We lost, like, four of us lost his money. We're like, where are we going to get the money? So either we had to put a move together, go to the city, get an ounce of blow, sell it, which in those days, Coke was still 300 a fucking eight ball. You had to cut it 80 times. I mean, it was just a nightmare. What are we going to fucking do? So I said, you know what, man? I've been going into this jewelry store for the last year. I've been setting them up. I'm going to rob this motherfucker. And they're like, nah. I wasn't kidding you, dog. I had no prospects. I had nothing to lose. I had no parents. I'm 18 on the street. I had an apartment. I had some shit going on, but I had nothing to lose, which is a dangerous fucking man. So, I told my buddies, I'm going to rob fucking Michaels. I called an attorney friend of mine. I go, go by the jewelry store and take a look at it. Let me know what happens.
That part cracks me up every time.
What happens if I fucking rob this thing? What part?
No, just the fact that you were like, all right, I'm going to call. That's like the inner Jew. And you're going to call a lawyer and find out what's going to happen.
He calls me back. He's like, if you get caught, it's grand larceny or some shit. And it's 12 years. We can get you out in four. I'm sitting around. And what really burnt me up at that time, this is how fucking crazy I was, that, yeah, I was gambling. I was doing all this stupid shit. But I had to pay this guy. And other times, I would have told the guy to suck my dick.
Uh-huh.
But because he was my teacher and he had helped me out so many times, I felt loyal to pay him. And I couldn't let him down. I called him up like a man. I go, listen, dog. He goes, you're going to have my money on Thursday. I go, yeah. I go, we're going to put together a move. If this move goes down, I'm going to give you money plus a little extra. But you got to promise me that you'll try to fucking bail me out.
Okay.
You know, I had a couple of my friends, please, promise me don't leave me in there. I'll come out, pay the bail, and I'll fucking just don't leave me in there. You know, and I went to a couple of friends. I told them the truth. And I'll never forget, I went out that Wednesday night. It was a Thursday fucking morning. It was the 3rd of September. No. It was a Thursday morning. I'll never forget that. I went to bed like on a Quaalude and shit, like I was, and I heard the horn beat. And I was drunk the night before talking shit at the bar, telling this kid that's about to call that we're going to rob the joint. I'm all coked up. I'm talking shit. We're going to rob the joint. God, we're taking him down. And next thing you know, he took it for granted. He took it for real. He showed up. I was just talking shit. I could be honest with you guys. I was just talking some rob the jewelry store. This motherfucker shows up that morning. I hear the horn beep, and he's got the other kid in the car, Glenn.
That's a good friend.
And he goes, we doing this? And I was like, well, I'm in it now.
Yeah.
I'm in it fucking now. I committed, you know? And he had a girlfriend. Like, he basically did it to give her, like, a gold chain. He picked me up. I remember we fucking went over the plan the night before in our heads how we were going to do it. Went over there, he parked, you know, at the top of the block, and the deal was I was going to walk in, take the jewelry, run out, and my friend, who was faster than me, he was going to jump a fence. I was going to throw it to him. He's going to catch it, run up the hill. I'm going to run up the hill on the street. And I'm going to catch him when he comes over. He's going to throw it to me. I'm going to put it in the trunk of the car. He's going to jump the fence and we're out of there.
Okay. Now, this, I've thought about this, and it's probably because you didn't want them to see the car. But if you're going to steal it, then why are you running up a hill? Why not just park right there?
Because Bergenline was too accessible to police.
Okay.
We wanted to go on a side street to get us. We had two ways, and we would have had to make a left, and would have been two witnesses to do it in front of the place. It was 9:15 in the morning. There was nobody on that strip. That means the cops are out all over, pulling people over. So basically, I just wanted to do it so we could go straight. We had the car pointed...
Oh, the way,
to where I was, and now that we would have had to cut a U-turn and make a left and then go down, there's too much action on that street.
Okay.
So when he throws, let's do this. Let's fucking do it. We pull out. We go to the front. I walk in. Lady comes up to me. She goes, can I help you? I mean, I had been in there every other month for the last 2 years. And they were still coming up to me going, can we help you? Like, nothing. I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? Next thing you know, she goes, what are you here to? And I go, I'm here to pick something up. I gave her some fake name. And she went into a safe.
Mm-hmm.
Here I was. I mean, I look at the door, and the deal was that my friend was going to open the door. So just in case they put a buzzer, I wouldn't get stuck in there.
Oh, okay.
So when I pop out, he lets the door go. I give him the fucking thing of chains. Mm-hmm. And what it really was that the building next to the jewelry store was condemned. It was knocked down. So they had a fence around it.
Okay.
So if he's sitting right, you know what I'm saying? I couldn't jump a fence. I was never a good fucking fence jumper. I even got caught. Look at this fucking, I got a scar right here where a fucking, a barbed wire went in and I stayed stuck to the fucking fence with the blood hit me in the face and the cops are coming at me with the fucking dogs. A dog that I fed all week, I had him on the fucking payroll and he turned on me the night of the fucking, but anyway. So I throw him the fucking jewelry. He walks, he runs up, and I run around the block to meet him. By the time he's a running back in high school. By the time we get to the top of the fucking thing, he throws it to me. He's supposed to throw it to me, but he dropped it. I go, where are the chains? And he's like, they fell. And I'm like, well, pick them up. And he's like, well, I hear the sirens. Like, I don't give a fuck. So finally, you know what? There was money on the floor. I jumped the fence.
Well, yeah.
You should have seen me. I jumped it like a high fucking hurdle. Woo! Nothing. I picked up the fucking chains. I had chains on my arms. I picked up the thing, and then I ran back to the fence. We jumped over. We both got in the fucking car.
And the trunk wouldn't open.
And the trunk wouldn't open, so I had to put it in the front seat, in the back seat. I'm in the back seat, so I closed the door. You couldn't even see my feet from all the jewelry we had.
We got a call coming in.
Oh, shit. What's going on, Marblehead?
What is it, Joey?
How are you, my friend? And you can call me Coco. Fuck that Joey shit. That's all these fucking Republicans.
Okay.
You know the deal. It's Coco to you guys, Jose to the fucking judge. What's up, baby? Where you at today? Tell these beautiful people at the church of what's happening now. Where you at?
I'm on Roosevelt Avenue in the beautiful borough of Queens, New York.
Oh, shit.
Right underneath the L train heading out to Shea Stadium. You'll hear it any minute.
Oh, shit. That's why I fucking love you. Little shout out to Queens, motherfucking New York, the home of John motherfucking Gotti. I love it. What's happening, baby? How's your brother doing? He recovering?
Everybody's good, man. Everybody's
your mother's good. Your father's good. You call me a pig. Well, you don't call me a pig. You ate me. You're the fucking pig. Anyway, I'm over here smoking the vapor pen. I just told him the jewelry store story. What do you remember from that day, Timmy?
Well, the name's going to have to be changed to protect the guilty.
So I hear you. I hear you. So it's Marblehead. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, Coco, whatever you want to be called. What I remember from it was, it was so long ago, but I remember being really scared. When I was waiting on the next block for you guys to come running out of the store with your bandanas tied around your face, you look like the fucking Billy the Kid and his partner.
And, I forgot all about the fucking bandana. Do you know that?
Yeah, and the trunk was open. I left the trunk open, and you guys popped the trunk open and... through that that big, it was a big glass case, right, Kelly?
It was a big yeah. I'm over here smoking dope with three hands. I'm over here smoking dope like Tommy Chong and Heat.
You threw that thing in, you both jumped in the car and we took off, but there were some small streets and I only had my license for maybe 6 months, so I wasn't too great of a driver, but Remember, we, like you said the last time we talked, I hit a stop sign and the trunk popped open and there was a cop sitting right on the corner.
Right on the fucking corner. We didn't know what to think. We didn't know what to think. You know, Marblehead, we were fucking stupid kids that, but we had a lot of heart and a lot of balls. And that's why, you know, I regret it till today, Marble, but I don't because it defied who the fuck I was. You know, I had to do it. I had to pay that fucking bookie or they were going to fucking stab us, you know. And he wasn't going to stab us, yeah. Camel Breath, but it's still, we loved him and we had a good fucking time.
Everything that I got out of that went right up my nose. I remember me and my girl, a nice big package of Coke, and we had a good night that night. We went to a hotel room, and, you know, we had a good time.
What hotel did you go to? Yeah, which hotel did you go to?
I think it was the one on Tully Avenue down there, the Chris Ann or one of them other fucking 3 hours.
Which one was the one that was...
3 hours,
yeah, yeah. Which one the one that was in the bottom of 64th Street Hill across from Duffy's Tavern? Not Duffy's, Dolan's. I'm sorry. Remember on Tully Avenue was a hotel?
That was, That was... Yeah,
you remember that place? Yeah, we used to steal Trinitrons out of there.
Yeah.
They used to have so many Trinitrons. So you check into the room for like an hour... You know, let them calm down, and then you unplugged it. They had, like, a little alarm system, but it didn't matter. By the time you got to the car, the Hindus weren't going to chase you up Tully fucking Avenue. We must have robbed 22 televisions. That one, the TikTok.
The Liberty Motel, that's what it was.
The Liberty fucking Motel. And then there was the other one up by Lebrano's house there, the Tip Top. Then there was the one on the bottom of 90th Street. Many a night I got coked up there with some filthy fucking animals. Many a night. Many a fucking night. You woke up, you got crabs just sleeping on the beds in those fucking hotels. You didn't have to fuck nobody. You got stuck one night and slept there. You wake up with fucking crabs and a black eye.
The hot tubs in them places, that's so much common, it looked like fucking egg.
Oh my God, it looked like egg drop soup, the fucking jacuzzis. That's what the sperm would look like. I swear to God, they had these hotels at like Prostitute Row. And, okay. And they had jacuzzis in some of the rooms. And one night I got... remember that girl that... what was her name? What the fuck? She was from Wayne, New Jersey. She was really hot. She was dating Mike Walters for a while with the Camaro. They said they used to call her Fairview because she was a dry hump. Her pussy wouldn't get wet. Do you remember that girl? Lori something. I picked her up one night at Louis Donato's house. And I took her down. I robbed Louis Donato, took her to the hotel. And I woke up as... Doug Flutie was throwing that famous fucking touchdown. That's what I woke up to. I remember those hotels fucking... Those hotels were disgusting.
Oh, egg drop soup. That's such a gross...
That's
image.
Right. Tell them, Timmy. Those fucking jacuzzis look like egg drop soup from Chance Dragon Inn.
They have glass walls and glass ceilings. And I can guarantee you that there was some fucking perv behind them walls jerking off watching you fuck. You know?
They had mirrors. They were fucking stuff. Disgusting. I lived at one of those places for like 2 or 3 months at a time, man. Wow. I used to live in that place on Tully Avenue, and I also lived at the one-off right by Fort Lee there, right as you're making the right onto the George Washington Bridge, that last one on your roof floor. You know which one I'm talking about? They redid it. They're like little huts and shit there. You know what I'm talking about, Marble? Stop beeping at motherfuckers. Marble, we had a good fucking time growing up. And I, you know, a lot of guys don't know I grew up with him and his fucking brother. And this guy's brother is probably 90% responsible for me becoming a fucking comedian.
Really?
Because his brother's one of the funniest men in America. Fuck Eddie Murphy. This is when Eddie Murphy was out. We put him up next to Eddie Murphy. This guy was my, he saved my life because I was going through so much inside. Every time I hook up with the Pelican, I get fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Timmy!
Yeah.
Did I lose you, cocksucker? Talk to me here.
No, I'm just listening, man.
Tell these guys one last shot. Tell these guys about Lucci's Bar and Grill.
No, it was just your neighborhood hangout. You know, there was a path to the fucking bathroom because that's where everybody spent most of their time in the bathroom. That place.
It really
lines off the back of the toilet paper holder. Back in the toilet seat, it was a fucking disgrace. But, that's what it was back then. It was all about everybody was just getting their paycheck on Friday and just spending it all on fucking blow. I don't know if you call it blow. I don't know what the fuck we were snorting, but it was something.
It was ugly, but you know what, brother? We're still here, man. I couldn't even think of doing a blast now. I couldn't even think of it. I think my fucking eyeballs would pop out of my goddamn head. I don't know what would happen to me. Yeah. I smoke weed and I go fucking nuts. I smoke weed and I start thinking about Michael Jackson stabbing people. You know, I can't imagine. You know, I was watching Boogie Nights the other night. And have you seen
that movie? Is fucking up. That movie caught the 80s perfect. That scene at the when it switched over to the 1980s. That they did that scene so perfect. Everything was perfect in that scene.
What about?
Take a little hit and put your head back and get the drip.
Oh,
that's exactly the way it was, man. Whoever came up with that scene really nailed it, man. It was perfect.
What about the scene where they go to that fucking guy's house and the Chinese guy's lighting fucking firecrackers and three guys show up at his house? That's one of the greatest scenes. It stresses me out, Marblehead, when I watch that scene because I've been there. We've all been there.
That's the guy that you were that was Doc Ock.
That's Doc Ock. Absolutely. You know what? And while I was shooting it with him, I didn't ever thought of asking him about where he fucking, I mean, he was amazing. He's sweating. How many people's houses did we go to? I remember I used to go to Boulevard East to some guy's house to pick up Quaaludes. And every time you went there, he'd invite you in with a robe and he was freebasing. That's before crack. Tell these motherfuckers, Marble. That's way before crack.
They were putting the shit in the microwave.
We were putting it in the microwave and packing it in a joint and calling it fucking bazookas. But before that, remember when we went, me and your brother took this guy, Steve, remember that dude that kept saying, make a right? And after you make the right turn, he goes, that was tremendous. Do you remember that story?
That was tremendous.
What was that? Remember that shit? Every time you did something, he goes, that was tremendous. So he took us to this fucking block.
My brother said to him, one more tremendous out of you and I'm going to fling you right out the fucking window.
Oh, yeah. He kept saying, that was tremendous. So he takes us to Tunley Avenue down there by like 3rd Street in Jersey City to see this fucking pimp, to meet this pimp and sell him coke. And the pimp was going to teach us how to fucking freebase. So we had to go to East West, the head shop on Burgerline Avenue 48. And they used to sell a freebase and kick. I know it's still fucking there. Still there, and they sell underground albums. They do the whole fucking thing. And we go there, and you buy the whole freebasing tape, and you bring it home, and we brought home. That's when the Camel Breath used to sell cocaine, too. And he'd give you a gram of coke in the little bottles already, grind it up. And I would go to his house, and he'd give me 15 fucking bottles at $60 a piece, and I'd have to sell them for $100. I'd come back the next day with no fucking money. I would do every bottle. So I got that freebase kit, and I got like 20 of those bottles, and I went to Mikey Devo's house. And I'll never forget that. Waking up the next day, every bottle was upside down empty. And I had like not a dollar in my pocket.
Ugh.
And I had to wake up and go pay the fucking Camel Breath. Oh, my God. Thank God. Yeah. Those days. Thank God I go to fucking yoga. Hey, Marble, I seen that your wife was putting something up yesterday that she needed $500 for, like some cancer fund. Do you know what the link is?
What was that, Joey? I didn't catch that. The train was going fast.
Jesus, are you on the train or are you driving a truck?
No, I'm underneath the train. I'm underneath the train. You know, I got the L in Queens. I'm underneath the train.
You're underneath the fucking train. All right, listen. Yesterday, your wife posted something about a cancer fund or something. Do you know what the webpage is?
No, I don't, but I'll have a post to back up. What's going on, Joey, is... she lost her older brother, Billy, in 97 to lung cancer. And now her younger brother, Timmy, is battling. He's got tongue and neck cancer.
Oh.
And, you know, it's really bad, man. You know, the doctor gave him a 50-50 shot. You know, but he's going through all kinds of chemo and radiation. And it's really bad, man. It's just fucking so hard to watch.
No, it's a fucking nightmare. So tell your wife to repost it, and I'll put it on Facebook, and we could get some people to help out with a dollar here, a dollar there. I'll put a 50 or whatever your wife needs. All right, brother?
Yeah. I'll call the repost. Thanks, Joey.
Hey, man, I love you to death, Timmy. I love that you call in, and, you know, tell these motherfuckers how tight we are, how long, your brother, how many meals did they eat at your fucking... Remember the night we were taking food out of your house at 4 in the morning, and your father woke up, and he was like, what, to go? A lot of laughs were coming from me and you, brother. I love you. Know who called me yesterday? My man, Guy Tabasco.
Okay, I see Guy a lot. He's out in Chico. He's got a beautiful family.
Oh, Guy's a great fucker.
He's got a little daughter and a son. Man, he's doing really good.
Yeah, I'm going to have him call in next week.
I got to tell you, Coco, like when I used to hang with, because you guys were a little bit older than me, you were my brother's friends, but I remember when you used to come to the house, it was just nonstop fucking laughter and fun, man. I look back on them memories as, you know what I mean? You can never recapture those times again, you know what I mean? It was just, everything was just so much fun. We didn't have a worry in the world. It was just about kicking back, smoking some weed, you know, and just having a great time laughing about crazy shit, going up to Callahan.
Fuck yeah, with those hot dogs and you shit blood for a week. But they had the Yoo-Hoo on tap. The Yoo-Hoo was fucking whipped. It was delicious. You know, man, and that to me and you say, we laughed, but you had no idea what I was going through inside, man. You have no fucking idea. I had no parents. I had nothing. So you guys were my family, man. So thank you. Thank you for still calling me and shit.
You never talked about that stuff when we were kids. You know, you just did what you had to do. And you know, I told you a couple months back, man, I'm really proud of you, man, because you see a lot of guys that we grew up with, man, they just fell to the wayside, and they're just, you know, they're sucking off the system, and they, you know, and you're out there breaking the balls, you know what I mean, doing what you got to do to feed your family, and, you know, and you did that all by yourself. You didn't have nobody, you know, helping you and stuff like that, and I told you, you know, you should be proud of yourself, Joey. You're a good man, and and I'll always remember you, man, from them days, man. We had some good times. And I hope to see you soon if you come back east.
Yeah, I'll see you November 9th and 10th up in fucking Long Island, buddy. So this time, just don't even go home after work. Just have your wife take the train, and we'll all go up to the comedy club and do our thing. And I'll go into North Bergen on Monday and see your brother and put some flowers on the cemetery and shit. I love you, Timmy. Thank you for calling up today, brother.
Love you, Joey.
Have a great week. Man. Take care. Have a great week. Stay black.
No, man.
Sorry about that. I got emotional, but it's the truth. I mean, these kids were my family growing up.
You know, man, I just got to say, from just hearing all that stuff, I mean, I think I have some pretty good friends in my life. The way you talk about the guys you were with, I don't think I have anyone that could even compare. And I have friends who I grew up with that I don't... It's not that we were mad at each other. We just grew apart, and I don't think I have anyone that I talk to once a week or...
Listen, man, you know, you hear about these kids, these young kids going to Vietnam or wars, and when you go do shit with people, it makes you feel differently about them. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very lucky. I have you as a friend. I have Felicia. I have Joe Rogan, who's my brother. Ari Shafir Duncan. I love these guys. Red Man. You know, Bert Kreisch. I love you guys. I don't hang out with nobody I don't fucking love. I don't hang out with you. If there's a problem, why fuck around? You know what I'm saying? I'm the type of guy, if you got weed and I don't have, you know, smoke, I won't even talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
Why waste each other's time? Why use somebody? There's too many people using people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went through something dramatic as a young kid, losing your parents. These motherfuckers covered the spread for me in the biggest way ever. And they never repeated it. You know, people, I lent you $10 3 weeks ago. These motherfuckers were men. And you hear these stories of what we were doing. We were doing this at 16, 17, 18. So when you build that bond at a young age with these guys, you can't remember that. I could never fucking not call these guys. These guys could never not be in my life. They fed me. They took care of me. Somewhere along the line, they came through for me. You know, and I was a fuck up. They put up with a lot of shit. After I left, my friends put up with a lot of shit because of me. You know, where is he? People coming around, cops. And they never gave me up. I had to do something in my life. I kept stealing whatever. And one day, through the grace of God, I had the fucking balls to go on stage. And, you know, people fucking write me emails all the time. We're going to talk about an email we got. People write me emails all the time. You got to stick with something. Before I was 20, I never stuck with none. I was a mason. I was an electrician. I was a fucking an assistant. I worked construction. I tried to be a fucking mechanic. I was a service writer. I was a roofer. I did everything. But you know what the problem was? I quit. You know, I quit at everything because I would get coked up and I'd lose my fucking job like a fucking Momo. And finally, by the grace of God, one day I got into comedy. And I got into comedy on accident. I wanted to do it, but it worked for me. I could live in my car. I didn't have to have responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
I could disappear. I could just sink my head into comedy. And it evolved, and I stuck with something. And then I started looking at it different. I like this. I like doing this. You know what? Those people that I fucked around with as a kid that wrote me off. Because then I went to prison. You know, these guys, once I got locked up, they didn't write me off. They were my brothers. But it wasn't a shock to them that I got locked up.
Mm-hmm.
I had to prove myself to them. But I want them to be proud of me. That's at the end of the week before anything, dog. I want them to say, yeah, he was fucked up back then. But right now, he's keeping it together. He's talking to people. And all this shit I do is so people learn from me. Listen, I'm 49 years old, and I wish I had 10 more fucking years. But when I was a kid, people come to me and go, hey, dog, don't do that. I didn't listen. You don't listen because you think you know all the fucking answers. If you watch this church or what's happening now, whatever, I'm a fat fucking comedian who smokes dope. You can't take me serious. But I've gone through some shit and I can help you out. Just take a little bit of this advice. I'll get you 10 fucking years on your life. Why be 49 and go, fuck, I wish I was 39 with what I know now, you know? So that's all I could offer these fucking people with the podcast. We get a couple of laughs. We make fun of some fucking Puerto Ricans. We smoke some dope. And I get you ready for the fucking day. When I was a kid, I used to, you know, I was a Catholic, right? I'm a Jew that went to Catholic school, all right? Because my mother wanted me to cover all the fucking bases. Mm-hmm. When you're a Jew that go to Catholic school, you got all the fucking bases covered. With some Santeria and some fucking Buddhism involved. I got like a Jeet Kune Do, a comedy. So, you know, I used to go to church. When you go to Catholic school, you have to go to church fucking at 7 in the morning before school. Did you know that, Lee?
Oof.
5 days a week. I would sleep at Sacred Heart School for Boys. Then you wake up at 6, they give you a fucking thing of milk and a banana, and you went to church on an empty stomach, an hour to church on an empty stomach. You know, with the kneeling, getting up, and then you want a cookie. They wouldn't give you a cookie because you hadn't had your holy fucking communion so far. So you had to sit there while everybody else was eating the fucking body of Christ, and you had to sit there. The point is, church used to get me ready for the day as a young kid. That's why we call this church. We call this church for a couple other reasons. But that's it. Lee, read me that fucking email you got.
All right. We got an email from Albert in Boston. And he said he's 55 and gay. And he lost 50 pounds over the past year and worked on himself emotionally. But he can't find anyone to be with. And I read this. And people have given you shit for talking about mugging fags and shit like that. But I thought it'd be interesting to get your perspective on what he could do to get better himself. And it's dating for anybody, but
first of all, why you gotta drag a dog in here and talk about mugging fags? That was 30 years ago, and that wasn't that. There wasn't fags, there were Sanduskies. They would come over from New York, have a couple cocktails, and want a young kid to suck their dick, and then we'd mug them. I should correct it. There were a bunch of Sanduskies. Number two, you know, you're right. It doesn't matter whether you're gay or whatever. There's sights for you. You know, I don't know what he looks like or if he's handsome or not or whatever. But you don't need to be handsome or good looking to date. You know, you got to find the person that's right for you. 9 out of 10, who gives a fuck what they look like? If they click with you and you like eating and hanging out with them and you like eating their fucking pussy. You know what I'm saying? There's a fucking ass for every chair. You know, just because he's gay and he lost 50 pounds, he could have picked men up with the 50 pounds. He's probably a beautiful man. He's emotionally ready. Just tell him to go out there, get on a couple of Match.coms, you know. You're not going to find dick at a bar. Okay. All you find at a bar is fucking crabs. You ever get crabs in your eyebrows, guy? No, that's all you get at a fucking bar. I got crabs in my eyebrows one time. You don't know what it's like to be combing your hair and see a little fucking crab on your eyebrow.
Oh,
you got,
Jesus.
You know, that means you're a soldier. You went into fucking murky waters of the asshole, Lee.
That sounds like a Robin Williams.
Lee don't
joke.
Like the asshole. He don't even like
no,
me fucking.
No, God, that freaks me out, man.
He hates it. And I tell him, if you're a real Jew, you got to lick that ass. That's part of it. You know, just put a little tongue in that muffler. You got to sniff it. You know what I'm saying? Lee, whenever he hooks up with a chick, I said, Lee, you eat that ass. I don't know. I don't
to
like
get
it.
Me to do that, you would have to take like 8 million showers, and you do it, and you're pulling pieces. The tinfoil.
That's an adventure. Oh, it's like Jesus. Going to the museum. You don't know what's down there.
Going to the museum. Oh my
you
God.
You don't fucking know, bro. You got to take a chance. Columbus did. You know what I'm saying? You got to go into the murky. You never even smell like a muffler. Just put your nose up to her asshole. It smells like gunpowder. Without the residue, it's a fucking party where I come from. You know what I'm saying? What's the music you got for me, Lee? Give them these motherfuckers something, man.
All right. You got a Biggie Smalls warning.
Oh, shit. Let's do this real quick. Crank that motherfucker up. Great album, the first one. One of the greatest rap albums of all time. Dropping it. Oh. Dropping it, baby. This is it to get you going, motherfuckers. It's all about getting the fuck out of the house.
Who the fuck is this? Paging me at 5:46 in the morning. Crack of dawning. Now I'm yawning.
What?
Wipe the cold out my eyes.
What?
See who's this page.
Go, Lee, cocksucker. Dance, bitch. Dance the drink back. Go home and get your fucking shine box. What else we got here to talk about, man? This is brilliance.
There's a great video of you on YouTube of you singing the song on the plane with Rogan and all of them. Oh my god, that's like one of the first videos I saw.
And that one, we talked the stewardess into letting me sing this.
Oh, really?
This is a great fucking jam. Tremendous jam. Biggie Smalls, my heart goes out to you. Every motherfucking day. Today I got nothing. Like I said, I went to yoga Monday. Sunday I hit the bag. I'm losing a little weight. I'm just under fucking 300. I've been stuck, but this thing I'm taking says that it retains a little water. So I don't give a fuck. I'm stronger than ever. The yoga. Lee's getting on the program. I know Cindy hasn't called you, but fucking.
No, yeah, I'm doing other stuff.
You've been working out the fucking
thing. I've been working out, and then I've been on Nutrisystem, which is it helps. But after however long I've done it, the food is for people who don't know. They send you food, and it's the most disgusting food I've ever eaten. And Joey's been on me to try Weight Watchers, and I think I'm finally gonna bite the bullet. The problem I've had and what you've tried to talk to me about is I work 10 hours a day, so with driving, that's 12 hours, and the thought of cooking when I get home, I would never do it, but what I have to do is get in the habit of, like, Sundays, just cooking a bunch of chicken or just something for the rest of the week.
Bro, to lose weight, it takes, and it's tough. It's tough, you know, I could tell you because I don't have a job, so I got time to go to this, and I could go get a salad. You know what? Everybody's giving you options now for healthy stuff. I'm even eating a little healthier when I go out. You know, I used to go to, I still go to Big Tony's, the Mexican place. They got a tremendous chicken salad for $6.95. They give you a chicken breast on a bed of lettuce with lemon vinaigrette.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad. You know?
Better than getting the chicken burrito or whatever.
Habit. The fucking habit has a great garden salad. A great garden salad that you could add avocado to and a piece of fucking tuna for $6.99.
Wow.
You gotta stop hitting this fast food.
Yeah.
You gotta stop. That's what the problem, it's killing you. You gotta cut the lettuce out. You know, man, I always lose weight when I eat at home. Even if I'm drinking a protein shake or two protein shakes, I always lose a pound or two. Or I stay at that weight at home. Listen, nobody likes to eat out more than me, bro.
Yeah.
I love it. I fucking love it. I love getting sandwiches and shrimp. But even when I go out now, I eat healthy. I always get a salad first. I try to eat fucking an apple before I go. You know, I'm getting to be fucking 50. My goal is to look like Charles Bronson in Hard Times.
Oh, that's a great movie.
You know, did you finally see it?
Cuck, I watched it with you.
Because I had a fucking, at least 24. And he shows up here, he's seen Hangover 2, but I tell him about the fucking classics. And, you know, he sits there like mummified. I got a bunch. Every time some of these guys come over here, I show them movies. And I get fucking amazed that they don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm like, you really never seen this? And you're walking around this fucking planet? You're walking around and you didn't see the fucking mechanic with Charles Brown. Don't let me fuck, you know, so anyway, don't get me started. You know what happened last week? I didn't know this. Let me tell you how bad the fucking movies have gotten. I don't know, people saying nothing came out, but no. Last week was the worst fucking weekend in movie history. Since like 1970 or something. Did you read that?
I didn't.
I don't know exactly what year, but I know it was just a fucking... And that, you know, bro, that embarrasses me. Yes, that was another breakdown. They really need to... They're making the Little Rascals on film.
Ugh.
Again, we need this shit.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting at home doing a fucking podcast with Lee. I should be out there stabbing motherfuckers on Sons of Anarchy. I gotta get on Sons of Anarchy. I gotta get a hold of Kurt Sutter. I want to be a fat fucking Cuban biker that comes out and fucks people and fucking stabs motherfuckers and Jimmy Smits kills me or some shit. I don't give a fuck. I always get shot in fucking movies. What a nightmare. Kill King Ock shot me. Doc Ock. I got shot and analyzed that. What the fuck?
You know what? I think that the movies, the studios, it's finally catching up to them. I think it's the ticket prices. I worked at a movie theater for 3 years, and when I left to go see a 3D IMAX movie, it was $20 a ticket. So if you're a family of four, that's $80 before you get any of the food. And when the movies are shitty, they're coming out now, why are you going to spend $80 when you can go on Netflix and watch one of the good movies? I think it's finally catching up to them.
I go to three. Listen, bro, I grew up in a fucking movie theater. Who the fuck are you kidding? If you were a product of the 70s, you grew up in a fucking movie theater. There was no internet, the fucking Twitter, or, you know, you grew up in a fucking movie theater. And if you had time to kill, you sat and watched the movie fucking twice. You know, and after the movies came out of run, then they would go to another movie theater mixed with another top movie for fucking $2, you know? So it'd be like, you know, The Outlaw Josie Wales and fucking The Mechanic or some double feature. Your head would blow up, Lee. Now you don't even have that. They don't cater to, like, the classics. We have The Beverly.
The Beverly's
fucking great, you know? But besides that, I went to the Arclight last year. I had to do a podcast for this girl, and she sent me on an assignment to fucking... watch a movie, a Disney movie. I said, fuck, I like Disney movies. I really do. I just seen a Disney movie. I seen the one with Jennifer Gardner with the little boy with the leaf on his fucking ankle. That's the type of guy I am.
Okay.
I like Disney. I support fucking the Disney, all those little movies. Beauty and the Beast. I'd rather go see one of those in an IMAX, eat a fucking one of these, a Bang Chocolate from Divine Wellness, and go see one of those kid movies before an adult movie anyway. But here's the story. I went to the Arclight in Hollywood, which I fucking love.
Oh, Arclight's great.
But listen, go to the Arclight, you walk out of there, you're $50 light.
Minimum, yeah.
With my wife, I was $50 light. Look, it didn't kill me, but you actually gotta think. I just dropped a half a fucking yard at the movie theater.
Yeah.
You know, I went to the Dodger game, my uncle, a couple weeks ago. Great fucking time. I'm not gonna lie to you and tell you, it was great, bro. Listen, there's nothing like going to see a fucking baseball game in this country. That's what this country was fucking built on, not eating pussy. There's nothing like going to see a fucking baseball game in this country. And you forget. You really, really fucking forget, Lee. You know, in '90s, in the late '90s, when I go on the road, that was the. You asked me that day. Did you ever go to Camden Yards? Was it you?
Yeah. We were talking about.
I went everywhere. I would go by myself, Lee, as a feature.
Oh, that's the best.
I was getting $600 a week on the road. Three of it went to blow. The other half went to the plane ticket. But I would always put away $30. And on Sunday, if there were I would schedule my weeks around baseball games.
Yeah.
And I would go to Houston.
Yeah.
I would go to fucking Atlanta. I went to see Baltimore, the Boot Pow. I went to the barbecue place. I'd go by myself, bro. I remember one time I was in Dallas solo. It was 104. I was at a bar at an Addison at the fucking gumbo bar, the Chili Stop or whatever the fuck. This tremendous little bar right down the corner from the Addison Improv. And some guy comes up to me, dog, are you by yourself? I go, yeah. Just a nice guy. He goes, are you from New York? I go, yeah. He goes, I got an extra fucking Giant ticket for you against Dallas. This is when the Giants were bad to the bone and Dallas was bad. By the way, remind me about this.
Okay.
And some guy gave me a single ticket. Now, I go to the game thinking I got to sit up in the back with the fucking Savages, with the crack ups up there.
Mm-hmm.
This was like third row on the 35-yard line.
What?
All the way down there on the floor. It was 130 the fucking degrees down there. I was shriveling up. I must have spent 30 on waters and walking back and forth. I had to leave at halftime, but the point being that, bro, I went everywhere. Whenever I Pittsburgh, I went to the Clemente thing. I rubbed the statue when I cry, I get emotional. I went to every stadium. But I told my wife, bro, I'm a fucking idiot because I'm not aware of prices sometimes. You know, I took my uncle to Dodger Stadium on the Costco. You get two tickets for $50, a hot dog, and two sodas. But you get ground fucking tickets. Any day you go, you have to pick. You pick the game when you want to. So it's an open game, Lee.
Oh, wow.
They got a great deal at Costco, guys. You go to fucking Costco, and they have two tickets to a stadium, plus two sodas and two hot dogs for $50 or something, $44.
That's great. You can't
get into. And it's any home game.
Oh, wow.
So they'll guarantee it. You got to be there at 4 o'clock. You got to go through the shit. Okay. But it doesn't matter, guys. You know, I took my uncle, and I got to tell you, it's part of being fucking American, even though there's no Americans on the fucking field. There's Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, a couple Cubans with a fucking thing on to float. But, you know, a couple Argentinians, a couple white dudes. But the Dodgers are doing good, right? The Yankees suck.
They're doing okay. Apparently, like, I don't even really follow baseball anymore. But, like, the Red Sox suck. And the when Baltimore is going to win the AL East, you know something bad's going on.
Wow. But your fucking team is given 92 points. To Arizona this week, correct?
Yeah, you should have like 16 or something.
Yeah, it started at 14. Oh, well, to 16. I'm not going to talk about gambling no more. I had the under. I know motherfuckers. But I'll tell you who I do like this week. Who's ever playing the Giants, bitches.
Oh, who is it?
Bet against them. They're giving 9 points. I forget who it is.
Bet against the Giants?
Yeah, because everybody's going to say the Giants aren't going to lose 2 weeks in a fucking row.
Okay.
There's no, everybody's going to go, the Giants aren't going to lose 2 weeks in a row. And they're going to fucking not cover. They're giving 9. Wherever the fuck they're playing. So they're giving 9.
Let me check for you. That's crazy.
But hey, we're wrapping this motherfucker up, guys. Before
you told me to remind you about the Giants ticket.
Yeah, the Giants. I'm telling them about the fucking Giants. Okay. Not the Giants ticket. I'm telling them that, what was I telling them? To bet against the fucking Giants. Okay. Because every time somebody wins the Super Bowl, they lose the first two games. Or they don't cover the first two games. Give it a shot. Even if you just put $50 on, if you lose, fuck Joey. I'll give it to you later on or whatever. But if you win, you pick up 50 fucking bucks. Everybody in the country's going to be saying, the Giants aren't going to lose 2 weeks in a row.
They're playing Tampa Bay, which sucks. So that would be a big upset.
They're giving 9. They're giving 9. So everybody and their mother's going to bet the Giants. Don't fucking hang out with the rest of these moose. What can I tell you? What do you got to tell these people? My main man, Lee, the flying fucking Jew of love. What's going on,
brother? The flying Jew of love. Well, we're on Stitcher now, which is great. So if you don't like downloading it, go on there. Send us emails, churchofwhatshappeningnowpod@gmail.com. And thank you for listening, guys. I was telling Joey I'm excited. I have 100 Twitter followers now, and that's like a huge deal because I never was on Twitter before. So it's great. I love to do this.
Hey, thank you very much for paying attention to the church or what's happening now. Thank you for coming down. Thank you for listening. I love you, motherfuckers. I'm headed to Minneapolis tomorrow. Next Thursday, I'm in Madison, Wisconsin. Tickets are on brown paper tickets at a place called Champs. Friday, I'm in Germantown. I don't know. I'm hanging out with some Germans, even sauerbraten, farting my ass off. Lee, you're not invited to hang out with fucking Germans. You're the flying Jew. I don't need that guy in my fucking life.
I don't think they'd like it.
Listen, I love you guys. We got stuff on iTunes. We got stuff on Amazon. You know, go to joeycocodiaz.net for t-shirts, blue cheese, stay black, fuck your mother, all that stuff. And as usual, Lee, throw these motherfuckers a kiss. I love you guys with all my heart. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for listening. You guys are making my fucking dreams come true, man. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Cock suckers. Oh, what?
Check it out.
Yeah.
Ha 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 ha.